Good morning. Let us open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for what you have done. And as we will see another prayer in the morning, this morning, O ye of little faith. And so, Lord, help us to be sensitive to your guiding hand. And we thank you for difficulties that cause us to trust you and to see our faith grow as a result. So guide us in this time of prayer this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll turn to 82. We're going to sing Trust and Obey one more time because that's what it's all about, really, isn't it? Trusting and then obeying. Number 82. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Second verse. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, this morning, as we continue through the Bible and looking at the prayers, we're in Matthew 14. Matthew 14, beginning in verse 22, is this section. The actual prayer we're going to look at is only three words. Peter's prayer and walking on water, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. So just a few comments about this, what brought this prayer about. And we have John the Baptist had been beheaded. They wanted to get away. Jesus wanted to get away, so He took the disciples across the sea. But the crowd was watching Him, and so they ran around to the other side. And when they get over to the other side where they wanted to get away from everybody, there's this huge crowd. And so they're ministered to, and at the end of the time, end of the day, Jesus told the disciples, these people are hungry. Of course, everybody was tired. Send them home. Get them out of here. These people are hungry. And of course, they said, well, how can we feed 5,000? We don't have anything. So we know that the Lord fed them, and they had much left over. And now it says 5,000 besides women and children. So that's quite a crowd, isn't it? Next verse, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat. Why do you think it was immediately? Well, it tells us in the Gospel of John account, it said they were threatening to take Him by force to make Him king. But His time had not come yet, and He knew, obviously, as long as the disciples are hanging around there, the crowd's not going to go home. And the disciples will probably get caught up in this, and they're already arguing who was going to be first in the kingdom, so they would be all for this, bringing the kingdom on, wouldn't they? But Jesus sends them away. Must have struck a chord there with the Johns anyway. Immediately Jesus made His disciples get in the boat, and what did He tell them? Go before Him to the other side. So they're out of there. Now this is not yet evening. They have just fed the people. It's at the end of the day, but it's not yet. It's just in the evening, we would think. And He sends the multitudes away. And now notice in verse 23. When He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, now we get to the end of the day, He was alone there. How frequently are you content Hello, Paul. How frequently, or let me even say this, are you ever content at being alone with just the Lord? Nobody else, alone in praying. We see he's going to pray all night here, or at least most of the night. He prays to the fourth watch, which was 3 to 6 in the morning. Now, we see that by this point now, or pretty soon, the boat was in the middle of the sea. They had been obedient. They were in his will. They were doing exactly what he asked them to do. But now they see contrary winds, tossed by the waves. Have you ever run into any, by the way, this contrary means antagonistic or against. Have you ever run into any antagonism when you're doing the Lord's will? Have you ever run into any resistance when you're doing the Lord's will? Verse 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, this is now, as I mentioned, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So as minimum, they've been rowing out there for 9 hours. That's minimum. So think you've got a long-term problem. Think you have long-term resistance when you're doing the Lord's will. All the while he's praying, right? Jesus is praying, and they're struggling. Does he know they're struggling? Absolutely. As he sent them out, did he know they were going to run into waves? Absolutely. If they didn't run into waves, he could have caused the waves. Because we'll see pretty soon he's going to calm the waves. So he puts them into this perfection. It seems to me affliction of perfection, so to speak. I think we have two tribulation kinds of difficulties. One is corrective, and I think the other is a perfecting one, or one that refines us. And I think this is a perfecting one. He's obviously not correcting them. They're doing his will. Yes. It's not like Jonah, who was going the wrong way. They're going exactly as he's told them to go. But look at the problems they run into. 9 hours of fighting the waves. And they're in the middle of the sea, or another way of translating that, they're far away from land. Right. So they're halfway across after 9 hours. How do you like that progress? You've been fighting now for 9 hours, and you're only halfway through your problem, huh? So he goes to them in verse 26. He walks on the sea to them, probably, again, wanting to show them of his sovereignty, that he can walk on the sea in a situation where they must be scared to death of this sea because they're afraid they're going to sink because it's so angry. They are troubled now, and they are afraid. We already see, it says, they were troubled, saying it's a ghost, and they cried out for fear. I think when we get in trouble, our minds tend to do some strange things, and we see some things that aren't even there often. And here they thought it was a ghost as they saw him, an apparition. They obviously were not looking for him, or they wouldn't have thought it was a ghost, right? When you're in great trouble, are you looking for the Lord? Or when you're in great trouble, do you see all kinds of dangers? Probably we see all kinds of dangers more than we are looking for the Lord. But they apparently were not looking for the Lord because they thought it was a ghost. Immediately, again, Jesus responds very quickly at this point. And what does he say? He says, Tharsetestai, which is the same thing that he said to Paul in the prison in Jerusalem after he had represented the Jews there. Witnessing to them. Remember, he said the word Gentiles, and they all went crazy. And he was so alone and so discouraged in prison by himself. But Paul was met by the Lord in the night. Exactly the same word. It's another, the be of good cheer is one translation. Another translation which might even make it more clear, it's be courageous. Be courageous. So in the middle of this problem, Jesus meets them and says, be courageous. Then he goes further to say, it is I, ego eimi, it is I, do not be afraid. So he says, be courageous. He tells them who it is because they know he doesn't know. They know they don't know. They don't recognize him. And why wouldn't they recognize him? Well, probably they couldn't believe that he would be walking on the water, right? Well, nobody can walk on the water. I mean, you know, look at these waves. We're going to die here. Couldn't be somebody's walking on the water. It must be a ghost. So they couldn't even believe it when they saw it. So how is your faith? How is my faith? When we can't see, do we believe? And even sometimes when we see, we can't believe, right? So they saw here, but they still didn't even really believe who it was, it appears. But now Peter, he answers Jesus as he says, "Be courageous, it is I, do not be afraid." And then even Peter is still asking a question, "If it is you, command me to come to you in the water." That's a pretty good response, actually. "Lord, if that's you, tell me what to do." Mm-hmm. And "if it is you, then command me to come to you in the water." So Jesus said, "Come." Peter gets out of the boat and he walks on the water to go to Jesus. What a courageous move. I can see these other guys sitting in there just frozen to the boat. They're not going to get out in the water. But Peter, he goes for it. He's a bold guy. He's got, one of his graces is boldness, obviously. "Now, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out," and here's his long prayer, "Lord, save me." If you go down to verse 31, it says, "O ye little faith, why did you doubt?" The Lord is asking him that question, "Why did you doubt?" And we go back, what was he doing in doubting? Doubting there means duplicate or duplication or duplicity or double-mindedness. And obviously what's happening there is he sees two things now. He not only sees the Lord, but he sees the waves. And when we start to get our eyes off of Jesus, when we start to see two things, we start to look at the problem as well as Jesus, we're going to sink. Problem's too big. The problem is a killer. This is a killer problem. I mean, these waves are about to do them in. And so when you look at these waves, it's something great. It's not just a minor little problem, a little nuisance, you know, a little hangnail on your toenail or something. This is a big deal because he's about to go down. He's sinking. Mm-hmm. Now, he does cry out before he's drowning. That's good because he goes to prayer pretty quickly. I think in these kinds of crises, we tend to go to prayer fairly quickly. If the crisis is bad enough, we don't, you know, try our 14 different possible solutions and let them all fail and then finally go to prayer. Here he just goes right to prayer. "Lord, save me." And when the wind was boisterous, he began to sink. And then what? Immediately Jesus responds to that cry, "Lord, save me," and he stretches out his hand and caught him and said, "O ye of little faith." Now, how about us? Isn't that exactly where we are, of little faith? You know, oftentimes we see and hear your faith, or Jesus will say things like, "Your faith has made you whole." And here we see, "O ye of little faith." We see that as long as he had faith in Christ, he was actually walking on the water. But then his faith wavered, and when his faith wavered, then he began to sink. And so that is where we are, aren't we? But we have these tests, it seems, that Jesus keeps giving us, greater and greater tests, and that strengthens our faith, does it not? Now, we then see in verse 32, when Peter and Jesus got into the boat, what happened? Wind ceased. Jesus's sovereign power over nature, of course, is shown here. Usually it takes quite a while for the wave action to die down, because waves, you know, waves are not compressible. They don't just stop. But here it just became calm. So Jesus is demonstrating a bunch of things here. He's demonstrating his sovereignty in walking on water. He's demonstrating his sovereignty in calming the sea. And note what result is then. They immediately, it doesn't quite say here in this one, it does in the other two accounts, immediately the boat was at the shore on the other side. So here's the miracle. Not only to calm the sea, immediately put the boat on the other side. And those who were in the boat came and worshiped him. When we see great things by the Lord, it does cause us to worship, does it not? Mm-hmm. And look at what they said then. They said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So this trial, while it was long, while it was at least 9 hours, did produce some results here that obviously Jesus would want. And that is, he's increasing the faith of the people, of the disciples. He's letting them know that they're all now saying, "Hey, you're the Son of God. Look what Jesus did." He couldn't have done that unless he had caused his whole scenario, could he? And they wouldn't have really they hadn't really labored for a long time, it wouldn't have meant as much to them, I don't think. And so when we are doing His will, expect trouble, because you're going to get it. And if you don't get it naturally, He'll give it to you, I think. So He increases our faith. I mean, that's what we see all along. With Peter in the garden, right a little bit later here in the Bible, when Jesus is going to be crucified, Satan asked to sift the disciples like wheat, and then we read. I love that. Of course, I've told you that before, because it means Satan needs to get approval to sift the disciples like wheat, which is wonderful. And Jesus prays for Peter. He says, but the prayer wasn't that hands off Peter. He just went ahead and let Satan have at Peter. And he said, he knew perfectly well he would fail, because he said, what, you'll deny me, right? But then he said, when you return, strengthen the brethren. So this was to increase his faith. We have one other little remark here, in the Gospel of Mark account, which is very interesting at the end of it. In verse 52 of verse 6 of the Mark account, verse 52 of Mark 6, it said, for they had not understood about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. Isn't that amazing? So they didn't get it the first time. They saw this great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, but we read here in Mark that they didn't get it. Their hearts were hardened. And what we see there also is that Jesus will put us through difficulties when He's with us, and He'll also put us through difficulties when He's not with us. The first difficulty with the waves, He was with them. The second difficulty, now He's not with them. And so He's showing them, because He's got to be preparing them, because He's not going to be with them much longer, you know. At the end of that 3 years, His work is done. He's out of there. So He puts us on training wheels, you know, when we first receive the Lord. I just love Tuesday night new believers group, because you get all these comments of people that just accepted the Lord, and, you know, they're just on this high, and everything is wonderful, and the Lord is just working in their lives, and, oh, it's so good to be with the Lord. You know? And, you know, I kind of been caught between two ways. One, I don't want to quench their excitement on being a believer. On the other hand, they need to know what's coming, because difficulties are coming, trials are coming. And, you know, then you see them 6 months later or 9 months later, and now they got big problems in their family. They got big problems everywhere they go because of their being a Christian, and I'm not so sure this is worth it, and because their faith is starting to be tested, right? And when run around here, I mean, run around church, you'll find people, all they can tell you about is the 9 hours of waves they've been in, right? The only thing I know is I've been in trouble. Oh, I'm in so much trouble. And you know they know the Lord, and you know they have the Word, and you know they've been through trouble before, but all they can tell you is how terrible their life is right now. And so we've all been there, we'll all be there, but we want to remember that we will experience trouble. But Jesus will see us through. He tells us in Romans, you are more than conquerors, meaning that He will see you through. And not only will He see you through, but how can you be more than a winner? You're more than a winner because you come out of it with more faith than you went into it. Mm-hmm. So we're to thank the Lord for all things. Mm-hmm. And when we thank Him for all things, it's quicker and easier for us to see the end that He has in mind for these things. And the more we can learn from them, probably the fewer we'll have to go through. I mean, He'll keep putting you through the same one until you learn it, if you require Him to, you know. So, but get ready for a bigger one, because He wants your faith to be more than it is today. And that's going to require a bigger problem than you've had in the past, right? Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad you came?
Yes, so that we can count it all through when we encounter these trials.
We're going to pray.
Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we just thank You for Your faithfulness, and Your love for us is so great we can't even grasp it at all. Lord, we know in Ephesians 2:7 it says that it'll take us ages to come for us to understand the depth of Your mercy, the depth of Your kindness, the depth of Your love to us that You've shown to us through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, even though we've walked with you for a while and we have learned a lot, we know there's so much more to learn about you than we can possibly grasp. So, Lord, help us not to spend all of our waking hours trying to figure things out and asking why God, when there is no answer to a why God question on this side. And so rather than why God, say, yes, Lord, what would you have me to do? Yes, Lord, thank you for being with me. Thank you for trials. Thank you for afflictions. And Lord, even as we pray, help us to understand what we're praying about. As so often we pray how terrible we're in these 9 hours of winds. It's just, oh, how terrible this is, how terrible this is. And even though we may be in the perfect will of yours, watching you work. And so give us strength, give us faith, Lord, and help us to keep our eyes on you and not on the trouble, because the trouble will cause us to sink. The trouble will cause us to be in great fear. And so, Lord, it sounds so easy while we're sitting here in the confines of this room, surrounded by other believers, and we don't have the waves crashing on us. But they will, Lord. But we know that whatever waves crash on us, you are praying for us. You told us in Hebrews 7:25, you ever live to make intercession for us. And in Romans 8, you tell us that you make intercession for us. And so as we are struggling with the waves, there you are praying. And in this case, it was praying alone on the mountain all night long. So, Lord, thank you for praying for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for helping our peace of God to grow as we commit more and more of the unseen things to you, more and more of the tempestuous waves to you, knowing that only you have the answer, because we have no solution for the tempestuous waves. We can't do anything but, in effect, drown in them, really, without you. Do the best we can to swim, but even there, probably the waves were too great to swim in them to survive. But you are the one, Lord. Lead us now in this time of prayer, and we see the importance of sustaining prayer, of continuing prayer, and, Lord, even on some things, issues that we prayed about before. As long as the waves are continuing to roll, Lord, we need to continue to pray, I believe. And, Lord, just help us to keep our eyes on you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.